even I start this message, you need to realize that you are already on the winning team. God is on your side. Whatever battles you might be facing, God is with you and he will see you through. Amen. So today I just want to thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to share the word. I also want to thank my pastor, who's also my husband, for giving me the opportunity to share the word this morning. And so today my message will be entitled, Having Functional Faith. Having Functional Faith. And if you look at the word functional, the definition of functional, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means that something that is working or something that is useful. So when we are talking about functional, we are talking about something that is working or is being used for its intended purpose. And then if you look at the word faith, according to the Strong Concordance, faith is defined as the predominant idea of trust or confidence in God. So when I'm talking about functional faith this morning, I'm just basically talking about faith that works. Faith that works or faith that is useful. So today, before I even go on, I want to ask you a question. Is your faith working? Is your faith useful? And so if we read from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1, it says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we are talking about faith, we are talking about being hopeful. Before you even see something happening, you are already hopeful that it will happen. Before you see anything tangible, you are already hopeful that God will see you through. And if you read in another version, in the NIV, in the same scripture, it says, Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So when we are talking about faith, we are talking about having confidence. We are talking about having that assurance that God will come through for me. God will see me through. And I was also reading another commentary and in the Life Application Study Bible, and it defines faith as the conviction based on past experience that God's new and fresh supplies will surely be ours. It is being confident and certain. So sometimes faith comes when you remember what God has done for you in the past. For example, I have faith today that God will help me deliver this message because God has been faithful in the past to help me to deliver his message. So I'm coming from a place of faith. For some of you, God has seen you through. He has given you a promotion and work at work. And because God has done it in the past, you are certain that God will give you that new job you are believing God for. You are certain that God will promote you in the workplace. You are certain that your children will do well at school because God has been faithful in the past. So God has been faithful to each and every one of us. Some of the times it might not seem to us like it's big things, but God has been faithful. And that should help us to build our faith. That should help us to strengthen our faith. I want you to know this morning that each and every person has got faith. No one in this place can tell me that I don't have faith. Why am I saying this today? Why am I saying this to you this morning? Because if you read from the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 3, this scripture was written in the context of spiritual gifts. So its context is spiritual gifts. But I like what it says at the end about faith. It says, For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So it shows that God has given each and every one of us a measure of faith. It doesn't mean that our faith is different. It doesn't mean that Shadi has been given more faith than me. But it just shows that we are all given a measure of faith. No believer can stand and say that I do not have faith. But the difference comes when we don't exercise our faith or not. So when you exercise your faith, it might seem that you might have more faith, but it's because you are actually exercising your faith. So this morning, I want us to move from a place of unbelief to a place of belief, to a place of confidence and assurance, which is a place of having faith. So today, if you are coming here and you are saying, you know what, I've been operating in a place of unbelief, I'm coming to you and we are helping each other go on this journey of believing confidence, of believing assurance that God is with us. And when we sing that song that we sang earlier on, Victory Belongs to Jesus, we are singing it with confidence because we know Jesus is on our side. We are on the winning team and victory already belongs to us. Amen. So this morning we'll start by finding out how faith becomes functional. So today you might be asking me, how do I make my faith become functional? Yes, I've heard that you have told me that, yes, everyone has been given a measure of faith. Everyone has got faith. But how do I make my faith become functional? So the first point I want to highlight is that faith works when we're able to hear from God first as he speaks to us. And the primary way that God speaks to us is through his word. So the first place that God speaks to us is through his word. And then there are other ways that God speaks to us. Some of you here can tell me that they know how God speaks to them. Some of you, you get that still small voice inside of you. And you know that God is speaking to me. And some of you, you have dreams. Some of you have got visions that you get from the Lord. And you know that God has spoken to you. But even if you are here this morning and you don't know how God speaks to you, you can get to know how God speaks to you. And the way to find out how God speaks to you is to pay attention. Like even when you are praying in the morning or at home, when you are having your time of prayer, to spend a few minutes and hear what God is saying. You've sort of like sense what God is saying. Let's say you, after you've read the word of God, you can sense what God is saying through his word. And that's how you start learning how to hear the voice of God, to hear how God speaks to you. Some of you, you can even ask other fellow Christians, mature Christians, to say, you know what, I've got a pattern in my life. I always dream about these things. Help me, guide me. Do you think that's the way God speaks to me? So you can go on a journey of discovery to say, you know what, in my own life, how does God speak to me? Some of you, you can sense that God is saying no, but you go ahead and do it. But God wants us to move from a place of doing things without hearing his voice, because that's faith, when we actually hear what God is saying and then go ahead and hear and do what God is telling us to do. Amen? So if we read from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 7, it says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. So we read from this book that Noah heard from God. He got the warning from God, and he was able to discern and to tell that God is actually speaking to me. You know, when the situation happened, when Noah had to build the ark, it was something that had never happened to the world before, when the flood happened. And it's a situation that didn't happen afterwards, where the world was destroyed by a flood. But Noah was able to tell that God is speaking to me. It was something different, it was something new, but he could hear that God is speaking to me. If you read the eighth verse of that chapter, it also says that it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. So here again, we see that God spoke to Abraham. Abraham didn't even know where he was going, but because God spoke to him, he was assured that God wants him to go into this land. So Abraham, was able to hear God speaking to him to say, leave your country and go to a new place that you have never been before. So this morning, I want you to know that faith involves being in an intimate relationship with God, where we are able to hear him speak and direct our lives. Some of us have heard God telling us, this is the person you should marry. And it shouldn't stop there on marriage. In other aspects of your life, God can still speak to you. God can still speak to you to make adjustments to your life. God can tell you to leave your job, to start a new job somewhere, and you can hear that God has spoken to me. For example, I will give you an example. When we left Cape Town in 2010, yes, that's about 10 years ago, we had a sense that God is speaking to us. Actually, my husband was feeling that, you know, his time in Cape Town was over, and it was time to move on. And we just came to Gauteng. We didn't know anyone. We didn't know anything. But we felt and we sensed that God has called us into this new region. God has called us into this new area. If we were other people, we would have said, you know what, this is intimidating. This is a new place. We've never been there before. And it's risky for us to just leave our comfort zone, to leave a church we know, the people we know, and go into a new place. But when you have faith, you understand that when God speaks to you, you need to do something. Some of you, God is actually talking to you and is saying to you, leave your job. Go into this new job. Maybe God is providing a new job. It might not look as fancy as the job you were in, but God is saying that. God is speaking about your children, maybe. He's saying, you know what? They need to go into this new school. Yes, it's comfortable to be in the same school for years and years, but God is saying, you know what? It's actually not good for you. So faith works when we are able to hear from God, to hear what God is saying to us. Because some of the times it's easy for us to want to hear what other people have, to hear the opinions of others before we act out. But our first call should be to hear God. Obviously, you can ask other people in the faith to say, you know what, I'm thinking about this. What do you think I should do? But first of all, it's important for us to learn to hear when God is speaking to us. Primarily through his word, and then through other sources like visions, like the still small voice, like various ways that he speaks to us. Amen. And then the next point that helps us to stretch our faith, to strengthen our faith, is when we obey God. When we obey God. So faith works when we obey God. If we read again Hebrews 11 verse 7, it says that it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. So Noah chose to obey God. God told him to build this ark so that he could save his family. And he was in a position to obey God. In the same way, if you read verse 8, it says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. So we can see already that these two individuals chose to obey God, and things went well for them as they trusted in the Lord. And some of you might be in a place where God has actually told you to do something and you're being disobedient. Maybe God has told you that you need to be a missionary in China, but you are resisting it. You think, oh, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to lag. But that's what God is telling you to do. Some of you, God is saying, you know what? You need to change your career. This is not where you are meant to be. But you are not obeying God. Because when we get to heaven, we are going to be all judged by what we did on earth. And if it is in line with what God wanted us to do. Some of us are being called to mother our children well in a certain way, but are we obedient to God? Are we stepping out in faith and believing that when God tells us to do something, we need to obey what God is telling us to do? Amen. So faith is trusting God in a new season and in a different place. So faith doesn't mean that you have to be confined to your current environment. Sometimes it may seem uncomfortable, but you actually need to say to yourself, you know what, because God has said it, I'm going to obey and do what God has told me to do. The other point that we need to know this morning is that faith works when we judge God as being faithful. We judge God as being faithful. So when I'm speaking about judging God as being faithful, I mean that when you believe that God is faithful, when you believe that God will see you through, do you actually believe that, that God will see you through? Like what we were singing earlier on, that victory belongs to Jesus. Do you actually believe that victory belongs to Jesus? Hebrews 11, verse 11 says, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise." So we can see here that Sarah considered, which means Sarah began to believe that God is faithful and she would have a child. But Sarah didn't start in that position. Sarah started off not having faith, because when she even heard the message that you are going to have a son, she actually laughed. She didn't believe it. But here in Hebrews 11:11, it says, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise." She started believing in the word of God. She started believing in the promises of God. So when I'm talking about believing that God is faithful, it's not acting on presumptions, but actually believing that God keeps his promises. God is a promise keeper. So you need to move from a place of doubt to a place of believing. To a place of believing, to say, "I surrender all to you, Lord. I choose to believe in you." So when you are believing, as Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, it's believing before you see anything tangible in your life. It's believing that God will see me through before you even see anything in the natural. I want to encourage you this morning that God is faithful and God has good plans for your life. And I want to encourage you this morning from these scriptures, from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The word of God says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So this scripture was written when Paul was addressing mockers in the last days, to say there were people who were saying that Jesus Christ is not going to come back again for the second time. But then Peter was encouraging the church, and he was saying, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Jesus Christ is going to come back again." So that's what Peter was encouraging the church, that Jesus is going to come back again. And I want you to encourage you this morning that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise concerning your own life. What God has promised in your life will come to pass. Our timetable and God's timetable is not the same. If you read, I think, one of the scriptures before or after, it actually talks about God's timing, that God's timing is not the same as our timing. And I want you to realize this, my brother or sister, that God's timing is not the same as your timing. But the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. So if God says he will do it, he will do it for you. If we are believing God for marriage, because the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, he will do it for you. It might not be on your own terms, but it will come to pass. If you are believing God that he will come through for you in your work situation, maybe you've been applying for jobs for years, maybe your situation at work has not changed, I want you to know that God is not slow in keeping his promise. His word is faithful and it will come to pass. And if you read again another scripture, I want to encourage you to show the nature of God as being faithful is Numbers chapter 23 verse 19. It says, "God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?" So when Numbers 23:19 was written, it was in the context of when the children of Israel had left Egypt and were now in the plains of Moab. So they had just settled just beneath the plains of Moab. And then Balak, who was the king of Moab or the Moabites, then called Balaam, who was a prophet or a seer in that time. He was not necessarily a worshiper of God, but God actually spoke to Balaam. And then Balak went to Balaam and asked Balaam to curse the Israelites because they were camped just beneath his land. And then when he asked Balaam to curse the Israelites, Balaam didn't curse the Israelites because in Numbers 23:19, Balaam actually said, God is not human that he should lie. God is not a human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. So Balaam, instead of cursing the Israelites, as he was instructed by Balak, the king of the Moabites, he actually blessed the Israelites. And why did he do this? Because God had already promised the Israelites that they would go into the promised land. And so Balaam obeyed God and actually delivered the message that God is still on the side of the Israelites. God doesn't want to leave the Israelites without the promise, but God wanted to actually bless the Israelites so that they would walk into the promise. So that's why he actually said God is not a human that he should lie. And this morning, I want you to know that God is not a human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So God, who's promised you in your life to change that situation, he will do it for you. He's not like people who change their minds about you. He is a faithful God. So whatever you know God has said, I want you to know that God is not like people who change their minds. Yes, people have disappointed you, but God is still on your side. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Amen. And I want you to know that faith works as well when we don't have so little faith. So you might be asking, what does it actually mean to have so little faith? So when we're talking about little faith is when we have a lack of confidence and trust in the Lord. So basically, having so little faith means our faith is weak and we are in a state of unbelief. So we are in a state of not believing God at all. So that is what we just mean by when we don't have so little faith. And I've used this phrase because it's also used in scripture. And I will read some scriptures that actually talk about having so little faith so that you understand what it means. So if we read from Matthew chapter 14, from verse 28 to 31, it says, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat, and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus says. Why did you doubt me? So we see this scripture is when Jesus was walking on water, and then Peter asked if you can come and step out into the water and walk towards Jesus. But he got to a point of time where he doubted and he started sinking. And so we see here that when Jesus was referring to so little faith, he was referring to Peter actually doubting. So in this scripture, we can actually see that Peter started to doubt and that caused him to sink. And this happens when we don't have faith at all. So we need to move from a place of doubt to a place of believing. Do you doubt God? Yes, maybe things haven't worked out the way you were thinking they would work these past few years. But are you going to keep on being in that place of doubt, or you are going to decide to say, you know what, I need to move from a place of doubting? Are you sinking in your life because you doubt God? Maybe you are sinking, maybe things are actually not working out because you are in a place of doubt. And I want to encourage you this morning that you need to move away from a place of doubt. You need to move away from a place of unbelief. And then if we read again from the book of Matthew chapter 17, from verse 14 to 20, it says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls onto the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from there from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So here we can see that the disciples, came a man to them who had a son who had a demon, who was demon possessed, and then they were not able to cast out the demon. And when they asked Jesus, he said to them, it's because you have so little faith. And if you look at the meaning of this as well, in the original, it means you didn't have faith. You had a lack of faith. You were doubting. So we need to come to a place where we start believing in the word of God. As I said earlier on, we need to hear the word of God in our lives. And as you hear the word of God, unbelief goes away. So breakthrough comes in our lives when we start to believe in the word of God, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we can ask or imagine. When we start believing that God will give me a long life, he has promised it in his word, and I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. So the Bible offers an alternative for believers, and that is we need to trust in the Lord and not have so little faith. So we need to move from a place of doubting as we start to believe what the word of God says. That we believe that the word of God is God. God is speaking to us through his word. If you read Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5 to 6, the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So here the Bible is encouraging us that you need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You do not need to depend on what in your own understanding. Even if the situation is not looking good, you need to keep on holding on to the word of God and to believe that God will come through. He will see you through. So trust involves being confident and secure in the Lord. It is knowing that he keeps you from falling or being trapped. God loves you so much. He doesn't want you trapped. He doesn't want your life to go down you. He wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you in your life to keep on going so that you are in peace and you enjoy the goodness of the Lord in this land. Amen. Proverbs 3 verse 26 also says, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. So you need to know that the Lord is your security. He will keep you. He will provide for you. He will see you through that difficult situation, that financial difficulty you are going through, that marital problem that you are going through. He will see you through. So when you are in a place of trust, you are confident in God. You are secure. You have got assurance that God will see me through. 1 John 5 verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So when we're talking about confidence, this confidence in 1 John 5 verse 14, it's referring to freedom in speaking. So when you are coming to God in prayer, you are free to say what you have on your heart. So you are open, you are frank, you are filled with confidence. And confidence goes hand in hand with being bold, not being fearful. You need to move from a place of being fearful to a place of confidence. So you need to make sure that when you are trusting in God, your requests are bold. You make bold requests to the Lord. So when you are bold, you also understand that I'm loved and accepted by Christ. If you get that revelation that I'm loved by God, it makes you trust in the Lord more. Because you know, God is on my side. God loves me so much and God wants the best for me. If you read Hebrews 4, verse 16, it also says the same. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. So we need to know that when we come to God, we don't have to be timid. Yes, you cannot tell me your problem in full. Maybe you are so sick and you don't know what to do. But you can go to God boldly, frankly and openly, and say, Lord, this sickness, I'm really feeling the pain. You know, I'm feeling the pain. Please, Lord, help me. Heal me, Lord. Because your word says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You may not be able to tell people your problems, your marriage problems, but you can go to God and say, you know what, Lord, I am not able to tell people about this, but I'm coming to you, Lord. I'm finding it difficult to communicate with my husband. He's not listening to me. My husband is not acting like a godly man, but I cannot tell it to anyone. But I'm coming with you. I'm free before you. So when you make prayers before the Lord, you need to be free. Because sometimes what happens to us is like we are so diplomatic when we are before God. We do not want to express ourselves. But God is saying to us this morning, you need to come to a place of trusting me. And so when you come to me, you are open. You are able to say anything you want because I'm your father and I love you. And you are accepted and you are loved by me. Amen. So now this morning, some of you might be saying, okay, so where should my faith level be for it to work? Yes, I've understood that everyone has been given a measure of faith, and you have gone through some points, and you shouldn't have little faith, which means a place of doubt. So where should my faith level be? The scripture we read earlier on of the disciples not being able to heal the demon-possessed boy, if we read from the 20th verse, Matthew 17, verse 20, it says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if your faith is a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So this is the message of when Jesus was talking about the disciples not casting out the demon. So when he was referring to the mustard seed, it's not actually talking about the size of the seed. Jesus was not actually talking about the size of the seed. It was meaning the quality of the faith. So Jesus was actually saying, what is the quality of your faith? What is the genuineness of your faith? You need to have genuine faith. That was what Jesus was trying to say to the disciples. So it's not really saying you need to have as faith as small as a mustard seed in terms of the size, but the quality of your faith. You need to have genuine faith. You shouldn't doubt God, but you need to move to a place of having genuine faith, and that is when you believe in God. So the size doesn't matter, but just having genuine faith to believe in God, to say God will see me through. So it's when there's negativity all around you, when the situation doesn't seem to be going well, is to say, you know what, but what does the word of God say? And then I believe what the word says. And you truly believe in that word. So the Lord is looking for the quality of your faith to say, is it even there? Or there's doubt. Or you only say it in front of people to say, okay, I'm believing God for a job. But when you are all alone, you are walking in unbelief. You are walking in doubt. You don't actually believe what you're saying. So we need to start believing God if we want to see mountains moving in our lives. If we want to see difficult situations changing, if we want to see that promotion coming at work, if we want to see ourselves moving away from financial difficulties, we just need to start believing. And it's not about the size. It's about the quality of our faith that is important. Amen. So this morning, you might be asking me, so how do I actually strengthen my faith? Practically, what do I need to do? Because I'm finding myself in a place of unbelief. Yes, I've been believing God for the past 10 years that I will get married, but it's not working, and I'm now in a place of doubt. Or I've actually got faith, but I just want to strengthen my faith. I want to go to new levels of trusting God for bigger things, for bigger breakthroughs, for more doors to open in my life. So today I want you to know that it's not complicated to actually strengthen your faith. Every one of us in this place can strengthen our faith. We can make our faith be strong. We can make our faith work for us. Our faith can become useful for us. Our faith can yield results in our lives. Amen? So the first thing you need to know if you want to strengthen your faith is you need to be consistent in reading the Word of God. There's no other place where you can strengthen your faith unless you start reading the Word of God. You need to know from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true. And you need to know that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. So you need to go to the basics of reading the Word of God consistently. I know we are maybe 6 weeks into the year, but some of you, you can even start a reading plan. Some of you, I think even some of the Bibles actually have a reading plan, or you can even find topics that you want. If you want to strengthen your faith, some Bibles actually have at the back scriptures on faith, and you go systematically through those scriptures, or even other scriptures that you have that you use in your own life to trust God for stuff. You can use them, and you start reading them consistently. So it's not to say you read the Word today and then you read it after 5 days or something like that. It will not grow your faith. It will not strengthen your faith if you do that. You need to be consistent and to really read the Word of God seriously. Take the Word of God seriously. Take the messages that you hear, even in church, seriously, and go home and start practicing what the Word of God is saying in your life. If you read Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." So you need to know that the Word of God is the one which guides you. The Word of God is the one which leads you. Amen. And the other thing you need to do in order to strengthen your faith is to pray to God. You need to start praying to the Lord. So you need to move from a place of unbelief to a place of belief. And prayer is one way you actually move from a place of unbelief to a place of belief. Because something you pray for regularly, you end up believing that God will come through for you. But if you pray for a matter, let's say you are believing God for marriage, and you only pray for it once in 3 months, it does not actually build up your faith to believe that that marriage will take place. So you need to, if you want your faith to be built up, you need to also be someone who prays consistently. And when you communicate with God, you're also showing that you trust in the Lord, you believe in Him, and you rely completely on Him. You need to start praying bold prayers. So you take the Word of God that you are reading consistently, and then you use it to make bold prayers to the Lord. You take a scripture, for example, if you are sick, you take maybe Psalms 91, verse 16, and you say, "Your word tells me, Lord, that with a long life you will satisfy me and you will show me your salvation. So my life is not going to be cut short." And you stand on that word and you believe that God will come through for you. Mark 11, verse 24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." So when you pray, you need to believe and you need to know that it is yours. So when you are praying, you are acting. And when you are acting, your faith is actually being exercised. It's almost like it's a muscle that you're exercising. So when you are praying, your faith becomes functional. And lastly, you strengthen your faith when you guard what you say. It's important that you guard your mouth, you guard what you say. For example, in South Africa at the moment, we have got challenges. Unemployment is high. There are so many problems. And so when you get to people, maybe at work or somewhere, they're always mostly negative and they say, "You know what? You can never get a job in this country." So are you going to join in? You are believing God for a promotion. You are believing God for a new job. Are you going to just join in with the people and say, you know what, I totally agree. There's no hope in this country. This country is going to the dogs or is going downhill. Are you just going to say that? Or are you going to watch what you say? And you say, you know what, I'm a child of the Most High God. I rely on God. I believe in the promises of God in his word. Yes, the situation might not look so rosy. The situation might not look so nice. But because I trust in the Lord, I know he will see me through. I know I will get the job, even in the midst of the chaos. Mark 11, verse 23 says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. So it says, what they say will happen, it will be done for them. So start declaring over your life to say, my promotion is coming this year. Start declaring that, you know what, my marriage is going to come. Start declaring that my children are going to start doing well at school. So whatever you want in your life, whatever you're believing God for, start declaring it and saying it, saying positive things about what God is going to do. Someone yesterday, I met someone, and they were actually saying, Happy New Year, you know, it's 2020. And then they were actually like, you know what, it's not just 2020, it's 2020. Which means it's a year of abundance. It's a year which God wants to do great things for us. So we need to be in a place of expectation, a place where our faith is functional. Where we have been discouraged in 2019, we need to move to a place of having functional faith and believing that the Lord will come through for us this morning. So as I conclude this message, there's a lot that I've said. Some of us, we need to learn maybe to hear the voice of God more and more. So today you might be saying, you know what? Actually, my faith is not functional because I don't hear God. I actually don't sense God. Or someone this morning might be saying, the problem that I have is actually not hearing from God. I hear from God, but I actually don't obey God. When God tells me to do something, I don't act on it. Or someone this morning is saying, I'm not judging God as being faithful. I don't believe. I actually doubt God. Or someone might be saying, I actually don't have faith. I've got a lack of faith. I've got so little faith. So we all find ourselves maybe in different categories. And I want us to stand this morning. You know what area of faith you need to strengthen. And I want you to pray to the Lord and say to the Lord, help me, Lord, to strengthen my faith. Maybe some of you are not consistently reading the word of God. You're saying, you know what, I haven't been reading the word. Or I haven't actually been praying at all. Or I've been so full of negativity. So that when even people at work speak about the economy or anything, I just join in. And I just don't have hope of being promoted anymore. So let's pray. You know what you're facing. And let's just believe the Lord that he will see you through and that your faith in 2020 will become functional once more. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you this morning. You know each and every person, whatever struggle they are facing, oh God, whatever they are going through, some have been not consistent in the word. Some of them, Lord, are facing battles, Lord, where it's been years and years and years, and they don't see any hope of things changing in their lives. I pray, oh God, that you would raise people in this place to have faith that works, faith that is functional, faith that produces results. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you would touch each and every life. You would help them, Lord, to move from a place of unbelief to a place of believing God once again. I thank you for your people, Lord, that you will visit each and every one of us. You will enrich them with your word, oh God. They will become functional once again in faith. Their faith will become useful. Their faith will work once again for them in areas that they are facing, in areas they have fought battles, in their health. Lord, we ask you that you would come through for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.